Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. On the brink of the season of Advent, the wonderful, the holy season of Advent, I hope that you are as excited about this time of year as I am. But not because it is fraught with holiday shopping and getting out and getting all your decorations up and saturating yourself with, I don't know, Jingle Bell Rock and that sort of thing, all the Christmas songs that are coming up and working in and through us. But my encouragement to you, and I do believe that those close to me will know that I am somewhat of an Advent Scrooge, i.e., I really insist as much as possible that we make Advent Advent, or we keep Advent Advent, rather than making it Christmas kind of come early so that we're sick of Christmas by the time December 25th rolls around. But I would encourage you at the very least to take some time during this upcoming Advent season, which is so very brief. It's actually the shortest Advent can be. Take some time to actually focus in on the season. And actually, right here at the top of the hour, we've got our own auxiliary bishop, Bishop Andrew Cousins, who's on the line with us to talk a little bit more about this holy season of Advent. Bishop Cousins, good morning to you.
How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing well. And hey, since just yesterday, November 30th, was the Feast of St. Andrew, a belated happy feast day to you.
Thank you so much. It was a great day to celebrate.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just started speaking about Advent, and I was encouraging the listeners to do something to keep Advent Advent and not just kind of Christmas come early. So why is Advent so important, Bishop?
Yeah, Advent is in certain ways kind of my favorite time of year. And ironically, as opposed to our culture, which gets so ramped up for Christmas, Advent is meant to be a kind of more spare, more quiet time where we actually take time to meditate on the coming of Christ, not just the coming of Christ as he came 2,000 years ago, but the coming of Christ as he is going to come at the end of time or at the end of our life for each of us, but also as he wants to come into our hearts today. We often speak about in Advent the three comings of Christ. He came in Bethlehem, he will come again at the end of time, but he also wants to come into our hearts today, and he wants us to be prepared for that coming at the end of the time by taking time to prepare our hearts to receive him today. So that's why, you know, in our own culture, the sort of focus on the materialism of Christmas is in a certain way very much against what Advent invites us to, which is this time of quiet preparation. It also, of course, lends to the celebration of Christmas. If we prepare in Advent well, then when Christmas comes and we celebrate the joy and we bring out all the great food and all of the celebration, it makes Christmas that much more. Just as Easter is so much more if you celebrate Lent well, Christmas is better if you celebrate Advent well.
Amen to that. So, Bishop, what are some suggestions that you might have into how to live a good Advent, how to prepare well?
Well, the first thing I would encourage is taking some time for quiet, extra time for quiet in the season of Advent, for some silence, and to do two things in that. One is to sit with the scripture passages, especially the Sunday scripture passages. We always have four Sundays of Advent. This year, Advent's only 3 weeks because Christmas is so early, and the fourth Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. And so to take some time to meditate on those scripture passages week by week, even, you know, you could read the gospel every day for that week of Advent and just spend 15 minutes sitting in quiet with it. But the purpose of that is to take this time to look at my life and to say, how is my life ordered towards Christ's coming? How am I ordered towards receiving Christ? You know, it's a great way to prepare also for the new year. In new year, we always sort of make resolutions and we say, what do I want to do to live my life better? And, you know, the church has this truth that even Moe, which is, if you want to live well today, you have to know what your goal is. Every business sets annual goals every year, and they try to measure if they're getting there today. And that's, Advent is an opportunity to take stock of my life. How am I preparing for that coming of Christ at the end of time, when I will meet him, and how will, what do I want my life to look like today based on that coming? So to take that time in silence as a really a chance to examine my life in light of Christ's coming, both how I'm ready for him at the end, but also how I'm welcoming him today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that that time of silence and preparation is something that is well factored into our lives throughout the liturgical year, and Advent being the beginning of the liturgical calendar year, then we can make some New Year's resolutions. It's a good time for that. It's a good time for, as you were saying, Bishop, to examine and then to live into the type of person that we want to be. I'm curious, Bishop, as to how would you say then, what is a good way to celebrate Christmas well? Because, you know, sometimes I find when I'm living these penitential seasons or these anticipatory seasons like Advent and Lent, then I get to Christmas or I get to Easter and just the wheels come off. I mean, it just seems like it's a tremendous season of indulgence then, and I kind of overdo it. So, yeah.
Well, it certainly is proper to celebrate during Christmas. This year, as I mentioned, it's going to be a little bit different. We're all going to get to go to Mass a lot around Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Because we have the fourth Sunday of Advent is, of course, a Sunday, and we're obliged to go to Mass on Sunday. But Christmas is a holy day of obligation. That never changes. And so we're obliged to go to Mass on Christmas. So you can do that different ways. You can go Sunday morning on Advent and Christmas Eve, and you can fulfill both, you know, your obligations that way. But unfortunately, you don't get a twofer. You can't go Christmas Eve and count it. You have to go twice. So one of the ways to celebrate, though, is that time for prayer and see Mass as this great gift. And that's why the liturgies of Christmas are so beautiful. Advent liturgies, you're going to find we use a lot of more chants. They're quiet. Christmas liturgies, we're going to have big organs and choirs and beautiful music. There'll be much more solemnity to celebrate. And so just to think about how you might do that in your own life. Obviously, we celebrate by giving gifts at Christmas, which is a great sign of the gift of Jesus. But also, I like to, in Advent, use that opportunity to do some extra service or gift giving to the less fortunate, you know, as a way of preparing for Christmas to make sure that I'm remembering those people who don't have the same resources that we have. And so I like to visit, if I can, a shelter and help serve some food for the poor, or find ways to give gifts to the poor during this season as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those sorts of prayer, celebrating in prayer and celebrating by giving of gifts can help to, I think, maybe perhaps temper the tendency towards self-indulgence, which is obviously not what Christmas is about.
Right, right, yeah. And you mentioned going to Mass both on Sunday, the 24th, as the fourth Sunday of Advent, and, of course, on Christmas. And you know what? I think that this affords us an opportunity that we don't often have, which is to see the differences between Mass as celebrated in the season of Advent, which is more of an anticipatory season, a quieter season in some ways, and versus the huge celebration of Christmas. We should see some quite distinctive ways of celebrating Mass, even from one day to the next, there from the 24th to the 25th. But
it'll be beautiful to see how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bishop, thank you for the time that you've taken this morning. But I'm wondering, at the top of the show here, we always commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. I'm wondering if you would lead us in a Hail Mary and then give us your blessing, please.
Sure. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Bishop Andrew Cousins, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour this morning. And God bless you. Yeah, for a wonderful Advent. Thank you. All right. We are going to go into our first break, but when we come back, we are going to be talking about Return Series with Molly Shore, bringing loved ones back to the church. Stay with us. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Great to be with you today as we're just talking with Bishop Andrew Cousins about the holy season of Advent that is now upon us. And, you know, it is a season of waiting. And one of the things that I know many of us, dare I say nearly all of us, are waiting for is for our loved ones to come back to the church. I'm sure I've seen it done where someone will ask in a room full of Catholics, now, how many of you have loved ones who have left the church? And every hand goes up. Joining us now in studio and coming back to the program here is Molly Shore, who's the Director of Parish Life and Evangelization at St. Vincent de Paul in Brooklyn Park, and she's been in this role for 9 years now. She holds an MA in Theology and Pastoral Ministry from St. John's University, and she put together a program called Return. Good morning, Molly. Good to be with you.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to hear about this because Return is focused on bringing loved ones back into the church, as I was just saying, something that I think we all have concern about. Yeah,
absolutely. I think it's actually an inexhaustible question at just how to help your loved ones come back. And so we've run this series now twice at our parish. And this last time we had 30 participants from 8 different churches.
Wow.
Coming to St. Vincent, some as even as far as St. Hubert's and Chanhassen. So I think there's an awareness that I need to be proactive. I need to do something. And part of the goal of the program is obviously to help with tips and strategies. But a big result of the program really is, are we authentically sharing our faith in a way that is attractive? Mm. I think oftentimes we dump information on people and loved ones to say, well, you should believe this, or this is why you should do this. And we forget that the magnetism of Jesus's personality is what drew people to him.
Mm.
And so we have to radiate that joy, radiate that love, and that's what helps bring people back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I definitely want to get into that, but before we get there, I do want to ask. So you put this program together. You wrote this program. So what was your inspiration? Was it a personal experience? Was it just reflecting on the necessity of having a program like this? Yeah, how did it come about?
Yeah, so I read actually Brandon Vaught's book, Return, and he writes it from the perspective of parents with adult children and how to have that conversation. And in reading the book, I was inspired with it, but also a recognition that my kids are 7 and 4. That's not really an option for them right now.
Right.
So, but I have 3 siblings that are somewhat involved in the faith. I have friends that have left, really close loved ones in my life that are not practicing. And so for me, it became a conversation of, well, how can I talk to them? How can I share the faith? And so I wrote this program, Return, in the hopes of broadening that scope beyond what Brandon had in his book.
Mm.
So at our programs, at our sessions, we've had groups of people that are gathered together at a table concerned about spouses, people that are concerned about siblings, other people that are concerned about children. And each of those conversations are vastly different in the approach. And so the program really aims to kind of help capture all of those perspectives.
Got it. Okay. So in your experience, both with the book Return and then in putting together this series, did you come across any kind of typical reasons why people leave the church? Are there some reasons that tend to be more popular than others, why people will drift away? Or is it just across the board, a smorgasbord of reasons?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's a lot of reasons. Typically, Ryan O'Hara, who is one of our speakers, he's at St. Paul's Outreach. He comes and shares a couple sessions just on why people are leaving. And a lot of what he really reflects on is that it typically is an emotional response to something. Mm. Not many people leave the church truly for an intellectual reason, although that does happen. Oftentimes with our loved ones, it tends to be an emotional reaction. But every case, you can't say, well, people leave the church because of topic A, and that's going to cover this. Every case, there's such an individual perspective and or emotional hurt or frustration or anger that needs to be really addressed on a one-on-one basis. So it's really hard to say why this is the reason and there's a silver bullet for that. It tends to be very particular for that person.
Right. And that's exactly what I was thinking about, is that we tend to, in this quick fix world that we live in, that seems to be what we look for. We look for that silver bullet that's going to right. just, or the that key that's going to open every lock, right?
Right?
And it just doesn't work that way.
No.
So give us a little bit more details now about the actual Return series. So it is a series. You don't meet just the once, but how often do you meet and how many times do you meet?
So it's a 7-week series, 6 consecutive weeks, and then we take a break after week 6. And the goal of that is that in the spring we took a break over Easter. This year we took a break over Thanksgiving, when there's natural gatherings with loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's those natural conversations that start to happen. And the hope is that they start to have these conversations, that those tips and strategies we've been giving them and the confidence starts to play itself out. But then we bring them back at week 7, and this second time we actually brought all of our participants, so former participants, back for week 7. And the goal of that is, all right, let's re-energize ourselves. Let's re-support ourselves. If you put your foot in your mouth at Thanksgiving and you went right back into the same old kind of mode of operations, let's gather together and remind ourselves that part of this process is a radical transformation in our own lives and how we interact with other people in our faith.
Right. So let's dig into that a little bit more. Specifically, you were talking about what one of the keys to this whole program is that looking at our own ways of sharing the faith. What are some ways that we typically screw up, that we don't do it right?
A lot of it comes down to putting the practices of the faith above our loved one. And in some of these situations, and not that it's not good stuff, but our loved one has to know that they're the most important thing first, and that the what of who we are as Catholics is second. And I think that's the biggest mistake that parents, that we all make in our faith, is that we say, you know what, if you don't do it this way, then you're not doing it. And we forget sometimes that they just want to know that they're valued and that they're important to us. Then they're going to start to listen to any of the suggestions or thoughts that we have. I think sometimes too we forget that being a Catholic in today's world has got to be joyful. I mean, Pope Francis, Joy of the Gospel, he talks about, you know, we're a whole bunch of people that are in Lent, you know, waiting for an Easter that never comes.
Right.
And we have to be able to share that joy. I mean, saints are attractive because they were joy-filled with their relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we make the faith look dull and really unattractive because we're not inspired ourselves. We don't know what it means really to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we get in our own way that way by not reflecting it in its most positive way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Reminds me, always Lent and never Easter reminds me of the line, The Witch in the Wardrobe, where it's always winter and never Christmas.
Right.
So, yes, even though I tend to be an Advent Scrooge, as we were just talking about, I still want Christmas to come. But I think that's a good point, is that even, and the church reminds us that the season of Advent, the season of Lent, are to be joyful seasons.
Right.
That, even though we might be in the midst of anticipation and even penitence, there's still joyful seasons.
Right.
Okay, so I think that's great. We need to tie in joy. We need to make sure that our loved one knows that they are valued, that regardless of whether they fulfill our expectations, correct?
Right.
On whether they're coming to church or not. Yeah, okay, good. And so what, when you get into these sessions and you're talking about this, I mean, you said you had speakers in. So speakers come in, is there small group discussion as well?
Format of the each session is we have a large group speaker or a live speaker every night coming from different perspectives. There is time for small group. And again, those small groups are formed based on interest level so that the conversation is really specific to that particular area that they're kind of concerned about. Then the end of it and the beauty of it is that there's some really intense prayer opportunities. And what we're trying to do is help our participants really be able to turn some of that, I hate to use the word even responsibility, but turn some of that maybe guilt, fear, anxiety back over to the Lord, recognizing that He is so much bigger than we give Him credit for sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we end it with that prayer. Then there's homework. There's homework that they take home. And the goal of it is, again, to keep some of those strategies. And the homework could be something as simple as pray for your loved one every day and journal on your emotion while you're doing it. Are you mad? Are you frustrated? Are you sad? It could be work on your personal testimony and share it with someone who you trust to get practice in really being authentic. So the homework really spans the gamut of opportunities as they kind of hone in on some of these evangelization skills.
So let me play devil's advocate here for just a moment.
Absolutely.
And say, all right, so I heard you say that, yes, the loved one needs to come first. But yet at the same time, we know that the Lord calls us that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God first. So what about those who would say, wait a minute, are you saying that we are sacrificing some degree of truth to love, to make our loved ones feel a certain way? Are we stepping outside of our commitment to the Lord? Are we being duplicitous here? What's going on? So how would you respond to some accusation like that?
That's such a great question. I'm going to kind of quote Bishop Robert Barron in this moment, and he talks about no one falls in love with baseball because they know all the rules.
Hmm.
They fall in love with baseball because they love the sport. And the more that they fall in love with the game, the more they want to know those rules, the more they want to know how it's played out. I think our faith is that way. And we want people to fall in love with Jesus first.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to do that if we keep barking at all the rules. So we have to show them who Jesus truly is. And Jesus did that in Scripture. He met people where they were at. He had dinner with what was kind of the unclean and the sinners of his time. And he did that first. And then as they started to fall in love with him, he challenged them to go deeper and to learn more. And I think we need to reorient that sometimes with our loved ones and be Jesus. Have them fall in love with that first.
Mm.
And then they're going to want to know the rest of it.
Yeah, but Molly, when I do that, I feel like, I'm being wishy-washy. I'm not saying the things that I should say. I'm not warning them as the watchman in the book of the prophet Ezekiel has talked about warning them about the things that are going on. So how do I do that and still remain true to the scriptures and to my own faith?
I think the thing is to remember that Jesus ministered to 12 and then he commissioned those 12 to go out and minister beyond. We may not be the conversion engine for our loved one. We may not be the person that God wants for us to share all the beauty of the truth with, but we might be one conduit of kind of the delineation of that message. And so I think it's a remembrance. It's not diluting the truth. It's not living up to what God asks us to do, but no one is going to listen if they don't first feel that they're in a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a therapy session. You're not going to go in and meet with a psychologist if they don't make you feel safe, if they don't make you feel valued. And so I think it's a process. It's not a not ever. It's a not now. Mm. And I think it's a remembrance that we have to be in tune to the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And sometimes that means not saying what we want to say and a recognition that that's God telling us not right now, like they're not ready yet. And I think we, if we really look back in our own life and our own conversions as we continue to grow, we recognize it didn't all come at one point for us. It was revealed through multiple avenues and multiple people. And so to remember that in our interactions with our loved ones, that we are just one cog in their whole wheel of life. And so we might just be revealing one piece of the truth that the Lord wants us to reveal.
She's good, isn't she, folks? That's that's
Holy
that's
Spirit.
Really good. Yeah, Holy Spirit come indeed. Wow. No, it's well answered. And I think sometimes when I am in that mode of thinking, yeah, but I'm not telling them everything, you know, which is hard for me because I just want to unload.
Right.
And not necessarily in a bad way or in a, you know, I want you to feel bad about yourself. I just want them to know everything because, you know, anyway. But then I think how tough it must have been for our Lord mm-hmm. when he was walking. I mean, he has the divine mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
and he's working with us.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Another reason to rejoice in the coming King. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. So, well, just to remind our folks, our guest here is Molly Shore. We're talking about a return series on ways of understanding how and why our loved ones leave the church, but then how we can better live out our faith in joy to draw them back into the love of the Lord and that sort of thing. So I'm interested, Molly, if it actually gets to the point, please God, you know, that it gets to the point when a loved one would say to us, "What do I need to do to come back into the church?" I mean, do you ever get to discussing that? Do you ever, is there thoughts about, well, how do you gently, because sometimes, I mean, people might have been away for a long time and they might have forgotten, you know, well, the Mass changed in 2011 or the English Mass, the English translation yep. changed. So they might know all the old responses. And I mean, how can we help that to happen if, again, please God, it does?
Part of it is looking at the level of invitation. We spend a whole session talking on Sherry Waddell's forming intentional disciples and really looking at her kind of thresholds of conversion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is we spend some time helping our participants recognize at what level their loved one is at. Because if someone says, "I'm ready to take that step," and they're at that initial trust level, the invitation probably shouldn't be Mass.
Yeah.
They're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So really looking at what does that invitation look like? Because I think it can be overwhelming to walk into something where you feel very uncomfortable and or like you don't know what's happening. So it's baby steps. And so we talk a lot about, you know, Sherry Waddell uses the image of not, you know, opening up their mouth and dumping a bucket of water in, but it's small drops. And so that's a big piece of it. If a loved one, you know, God willing and God blessing says, I kind of want to take that next step. It's recognizing what that invitation looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spend some time looking at that. We also spend some time really helping our participants hone in on their own confidence and understanding of our faith. We spend a whole session talking about knowing your stuff, really.
Mm.
And so understanding the catechism, understanding scripture better, giving them resources and tips to be able to dialogue in those tough questions. You know, I'm ready to take a step, but I'm still frustrated with church's teaching on X.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we help our participants better be able to answer those questions. And a lot of it comes down to being comfortable to say, "I don't know, but I will find out." And helping them kind of navigate through that dialogue where all you want to do is, "Okay, I got an opening. I want to just jump on it." And to be able to take a pause and say, "You know what? I don't have an answer for that right now, but I'm willing to come back." And so I think it's kind of working with our loved one where they're at and helping them take those little steps as they go and not expecting them to leap across the cavern when they're not quite ready.
Yeah, great point there too as well. Now, it sounds to me as if that the things that you've been talking about, they would quote-unquote work well with people who have left the church. But it also sounds to me like, I mean, this would work with anybody.
I think so. I think what we're finding too is our participants are becoming more discipled as they participate in it too. I think often we hear that we're disciple and we think, oh, that's not me, I'm not there. And then as we start to develop these skills and or start to kind of grow in our understanding of what that means, we're finding a lot of our participants are saying, oh, wow, I actually do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I do know how he works in my life. I am Catholic because of, and they're able to give a response to that. And so I think it's really kind of being more comfortable in owning that and saying, yes, this is my life. This is what I want. And so I think for even some of our Catholics that are, you know, loved ones in our life that are not quite completely fallen away, but they're kind of mediocre or lukewarm sometimes, as we hear a reference to, it's an opportunity to just, again, share that joy. I mean, what person doesn't want to be around someone who is joy-filled and who is just constantly radiating this peace and this energy of Christ's love? And so I think it's being awareness of, we have no idea how many people indirectly we touch when we truly become grounded in our faith and grounded in an understanding that we have a God who loves us so much, who gives us all these beautiful blessings of the church, that we can't not share that with those around us.
Amen. I have to say it again. Amen to that. Wow, that's great. So, Molly, just a couple of things in closing here. First of all, I'm guessing that there are some listeners out there who are thinking either, I want to know more about this, I want to maybe participate in something like that, or I think this could work for our parish. How can they find out more, and what would you advise them to do?
Absolutely. So the plan is to run it again live this spring, probably leading up to Easter and then coming back for week 7 after Easter. So stay tuned for more information on that. And then the conversation we're having right now with our speaker team is that we would run it live again. And if parishes want to host it at their parish, we would ask them to send representatives to the live session so that they can fully experience what the 7 weeks looks like. We might have then another training sometime in the spring for just parish leaders, and then they could run it with, we have videos and materials that they could run it in their own parishes in the fall. We're still developing how all that works, but if you want to have more information or contact me and have any questions on it, you can go to the St. Vincent de Paul website at saint, spelled out S-A-I-N-T, Vincent DePaul, VDP.org. Again, that's SaintVDP.org. And click on the adult section, and return is right there, and there'll be more information on that website as we develop it.
Okay. And then just in closing, you told me before we sat down that you have two pointers for the upcoming holiday season. And I am waiting on tenterhooks for this.
All right. So I apologize if this completely diminishes your ratings, but my two tips, and they're going to be a little counterintuitive. I think tip one would be, don't invite your loved one to Christmas Mass. If you've been inviting them to every feast day, holy day, and I had a participant last night saying that every time her daughter asked her, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? She would say, go to Mass with me. Don't do that. They're waiting for that invitation. They're waiting to challenge you and say no. This year, don't. Say a prayer. Let the Lord lead them. But recognize that sometimes the greatest thing we can do is back off a little bit. Mm. And so if they say, you know, Mom, what are you doing for church? You can say, well, we're going to do this, and this is when we're going. If they're at your house and you get up and go to Christmas morning Mass on Monday the 25th, you can say, keep that ham warm, don't touch the pie, we'll be back after Mass, and let that settle with them. You come back from church and they ask you, well, how was Mass? This isn't the opportunity to start explaining all the readings either. And so say, you know, it was great, and we're blessed to be able to spend this day together, and let that go. It's painful and it's hard. I completely understand. But I think that's the biggest thing. And then I think with that is, this isn't also an opportunity. My other second tip would be, share that joy. You might be dealing with a lot of pain. And to your listeners, I want to say that I hear you. I get it. It's hard to see your loved ones not be in full communion with the church, not be fully present. Recognize that, again, God is bigger than we are. And to radiate that joy as much as possible. Let them feel the love that you have for them, the joy that you have just to be in relationship with your loved one. Let that be the Christmas gift that you give them. And let them know that they are the most important thing. Those wheels might start to spin, and they may start to see a radical transformation in you that sparks a conversation.
Mm, great tips. And it's clear that the Holy Spirit is working in and through you and through
Thank
the
you.
Return series. For more information, again, stay tuned to the St. Vincent de Paul website at saintvdp.org. Molly Shore, thank you so much for joining us on the
Rediscover
Hour
much,
this morning. All right, so we are going to head off to our next break. And when we come back, Dr. Deborah Savage is with us to talk about an upcoming symposium that you will be interested in. Rediscover.
Talking about loving our enemies today.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
This is from one of our listeners. She says, sorry to say, I literally hated two of my sisters for something they did to my dear mother. I would confess this hatred, but kept struggling and going over the incident time and time again. The turning point was reading the wise words of a 95-year-old priest, and this is what he wrote. Pray for the person you resent day and night. Call down God's blessings on them. Lord, give them good health, joy, peace, love, and happiness. Refuse to speak of their faults. Become their cheerleader. Peace will come. I taped his words to the back of my bedroom door so that I pray for them first thing and last thing every day. She says, I won't forget what they have done, but that horrible, sinful hatred is long gone.
Wow.
We just could repeat that about 10 times here. Such great advice for all of us.
Hope and help for your faith journey. The Inner Life, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
We're back in the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you live from the Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM out in Golden Valley, Minnesota. And we thank them, as always, for their dedication of this time and effort so we can keep the Rediscover Hour on the air. Joining me now in studio is Dr. Deborah Savage from the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. She is the program director of the Master's Degree in Pastoral Ministry and a professor of philosophy. And she is here to talk about an upcoming symposium that I can't wait to dive into. But good morning to you, Dr. Savage.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us. And
Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, first, before we get into the symposium, I just want to ask a quick, how are things going over there at the Seminary School of Divinity?
Oh, they're going very well. Yes, we're not completely full, but we're close. And the men that are joining us are really fabulous. So there's a lot of good things going on.
Great.
And we have a large contingent of lay students also participating in our three lay programs. And that's a good thing because we really need well-trained lay people these days. So it's absolutely it's heaven on earth, really, to work there. Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it, and I look forward to seeing more and more success come out of the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
So the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity is putting on this one-day symposium, mm-hmm. right? And it's really on the Catholic understanding of the nature of man and woman
right.
in the order of creation.
Right.
Okay, so give us the broad overview
here. Well, for one thing, I should mention right away that the St. Paul Seminary is certainly the main sponsor, but our co-sponsors include the Minnesota Catholic Conference, the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, and the Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture. So it's a joint effort among those four groups to bring the conference on. And there are two events. There's one during the day from 9 to 5, basically, with a full lineup of very distinguished speakers, although I shouldn't say that too glibly since I'm one of them, but the others are really way, really distinguished, and I'm there because...
Oh, you're distinguished.
Oh, you know. Anyway, but then there's also, and registration is required for the day, and I should mention right away that registration will close on Monday.
Okay.
But there is a an evening event also, which is free and open to the public. There's no registration required. And I want to say I'm grateful for the time to speak to your listening audience here this morning, because what we really need is every Catholic, every faithful Catholic within driving distance of the university to show up in particular for that evening event. We're almost full during the day, to be honest with you. The evening event, we're hoping for a very large crowd of faithful Catholics who want to come and listen to the Foundations of the Church's teaching on this topic. And we've gotten some pushback from the transgender community and so on, and expect that those folks will be there, which is fine. We welcome them. We hope to convert them. That's not a problem at all. But we just want to be sure that there's enough of those who really need to hear this and understand it better are there.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of the day is not really to mount a response to transgender ideology or gender ideology, although you can't have a conference on woman and man these days without addressing those sorts of things. Our purpose from the start was to create or design a conference that's ordered toward the pastoral. Especially during the day, we're hoping to get lots of clergy and pastoral leaders throughout the archdiocese, lay leaders, religious sisters, educators, to come and hear what, as I said, the foundations of the church is teaching on this, which includes the science, both natural science, biological neuroscience, all that, and the social science that reveals without any real doubt at all that we are binary. There is such a thing as male and female. Men and women are different. At the same time, they are equal, not in a sense that they're interchangeable, but equally human, possess equal dignity, intellect, will, and freedom in equal parts. But we're also different, so we have different missions in the world in a way. And so what we'll show through this process is that Scripture has really been telling us all along what science is now only discovering. So we have, as I said, a full lineup of speakers. We're going to start with lived experience. Walt Heyer is our first speaker. He is a man who thought he was a woman, and he went through the sex change operation, lived to regret it, and had it reversed, and now travels to these conferences with his wife.
Wow.
A man of deep faith, and he's going to tell his story. And then he will be joined by a number of young people who have started a new organization called Eden Invitation. These are 20-somethings who have struggled with this issue themselves and have found their way out of it through their love for Christ and want only to be healed of it. And so we're grounding the whole day in what we're calling lived experience. What is really the lived experience of those who have encountered this difficulty in their own lives? Then we'll have Ryan Anderson, really a very distinguished scholar from the Heritage Foundation, and he will, and Witherspoon Institute, and he will talk about his upcoming book, Understanding and Responding to the Transgender Moment. And then we will have a couple of people talking about the science. And the focus of the science is not so much on the science underlying transgenderism, if you will. It's really on the science of man and woman. What does our DNA tell us? What does neuroscience tell us about the ways in which men's and women's brains are wired? All of those sorts of things. Mm. There will be a foray into the other aspects of the question. And then we'll have Brad Wilcox, a very distinguished family scholar, come and speak about how mothers and fathers are different and how they parent differently. And then I'll come in with my theory based in Scripture about man and woman. The end of the day is Father Paul Check. He was the executive director of Courage for many years. He now teaches at a seminary. But he will come and speak with us about the pastoral question. Hmm. How do you reach out to people in truth and love? So our hope is that those that come will learn that the church's teaching is not arbitrary. It's not simply a thing that we've thought for so many centuries and we're unwilling to change it, or it's not just dogma. It's a teaching that is well-reasoned, that is based on science as well as philosophy and scripture, and that it's ordered toward true love of all peoples. One of our sort of buzz lines, if you will, is the quote from St. Irenaeus that the glory of God is man fully alive, and that's what we hope to portray, to lay out for the audience, is what would that mean? So it's an attempt at a constructive account, not a dispute. And we're there not to condemn or judge, but to understand something.
Right. And just, I think we might have failed to mention at the top of the, that it's on December 11th.
Yes, that's important.
Right.
Yes. It's coming up in about a little over a week, mm-hmm. December 11th. The daytime event is from 9 to 5. There's Mass at the end with the Archbishop. And then the evening event is from 7:30 to 9. It's in OEC Auditorium. Yeah. Both events are in OEC Auditorium on the North Campus in St. Paul.
Okay. And more information can be found.
Yes. The easiest way to get more information is to simply Google St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity, go to the events page, and you'll find the link there to the registration or to more information.
Mm-hmm. And I know that we'll hit that again in our community events at the end of this show as well.
Great.
So I'm just curious, because obviously this is a very timely symposium. Mm-hmm. This is very relevant to a lot of things that are going on in the wider society. Did the idea for this, has it been in sort of nascent form for a long time, or is this something that's kind of been pushed because of recent events? Or?
No, it's actually not that at all. A group of faculty, basically at my invitation last summer, got together to study the issue. I've been looking at it for a while, but others had not. So we started to look into it. Jason Adkins from the Minnesota Catholic Conference joined us because his organization has to write a white paper on the topic. And one thing led to the other, and suddenly we decided we really need to have a public conference on this. It's a service to the Archdiocese, actually, because it's a difficult topic, and it's hard for the bishops to say, you know, anything black and white about it. It's complex. And so the only way really to approach it is to do it in the way we're proposing. And so we quickly actually put it together. Although what was amazing was that all the speakers we picked were all available, all on the same day that OEC Auditorium was open. Hmm. The bishops' calendars were open. Everybody's calendar was open. So it was perhaps the Holy Spirit that brought us to this moment.
Yeah. He tends to do things like that. So.
He does. Yeah. If you listen.
Yes. Well, uh-huh. That's a very good point.
Right.
That's a very good point. So I'm just curious, too. You said the day is almost full and participants. How many does that mean?
Well, we have over 300 people signed up already. We might just cap it at that, because otherwise parking becomes a real issue. Mm. On campus, at least during the day, but there won't be a parking problem at night. So if people want to come, they can come at night. Four of the speakers will give a summary of the talks they gave during the day, and then there'll be question and answer period.
Oh.
There'll be people in the lobby. All the sponsors will have a table. We'll be selling books. So, and if people do sign up, there's a lunch. The day is basically free unless you want lunch, in which case you'll have to buy lunch. We'll provide lunch, but there's a fee for that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So we have to get the catering information by a certain time, so we have to cut it off by Monday. But anyway.
And that we are soul and body, we need both fed.
Absolutely. Yes, right.
Very good. Very good. So what are your hopes for what the fruit that might be born from this symposium?
Well, I would say that one of them is to clarify, as I've already said, you know, the beautiful teaching that the Catholic Church affirms and has affirmed for so long about the nature of man and woman created by God in His image. But secondly, I think to open up the discussion, this has been a very difficult topic for people to speak about publicly. In many cases, it's Catholics ourselves who feel as though we can't say what we think because we're afraid of offending. We don't want to offend, and it seems so easy to do. It's as though if you don't see it this way, you're already engaging in violence against someone in a way, and that's just not right. So we're trying to open up the space for real dialogue or discussion, or at least a space in which those that don't quite see it that way can have a chance to speak their mind without fear. And at the same time, affirm the humanity of every single person on the planet. There's there is room in all of God's creation for everyone. But the bottom line is, the people that look at this in a different way, those that don't agree with the church, they're asking us to pay a very big price. And that is, they're asking us to jettison centuries of wisdom on the meaning of woman and man. And I guess I'd say that price is too high to pay. They can be a part of it. No one's kicking them out. But that's a big ticket item.
It is indeed. The symposium is Man, Woman, and the Order of Creation, and it's on December 11th. More information can be found, as we said, by Googling St. Paul Seminary and then going to the St. Paul Seminary website. We'll also have more information at the end of the show here. Dr. Deborah Savage, I'm sorry that we're out of time already,
thank you so much
for coming in. I'm hoping that I can make it.
I hope so, too.
All right. God bless you and all thank this you. Effort. We're going to take our final break right now, and when we come back, we'll hear more about that symposium and a number of other things going on in our area. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life, it might be vocations, it might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, and Paul Sadek is joining me for a list of things.
Hey. It's more than a list. It's a smorgasbord. Story time isn't just for kids. We could all use some wonder and joy in our lives. Women of the Archdiocese, join us Thursday, December 7th for Women, Wine, and Wisdom at Kellerman's Event Center in White Bear Lake as Catholic singer and storyteller Valimar Jansen fills an unforgettable evening with music, storytelling, scripture, reflection, and poetry. Cost $40 per person, reserved seating for groups of 10. For more information, visit catholicvineyard.com or the events page on archspm.org.
The League of Catholic Women and Loyola Spirituality Center invite all women to their Advent retreat on December 9th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at St. Patrick's Church in Edina. This upbeat interactive retreat is on the theme, Be the Voice of Hope. Discover what a prophetic voice sounds like and how to share opinions that uplift people. Speak words that give people hope this Advent. The retreat will be led by spiritual director and theologian Jane Lydon Cavanaugh, and the cost is $25 per person. To find out more, visit leagueofcatholicwomen.org.
Archbishop Bernard Hebda invites all Catholics to join our migrant and refugee brothers and sisters from around the world as he and Bishop Andrew Cousins celebrate an archdiocesan mass of solidarity at the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis, 5 p.m. Saturday, December 9th. The Mass is part of the two-year Share the Journey campaign launched by Pope Francis on September 27th to support those who have left or have been displaced from their home countries. For more information and to view a video invitation with Archbishop Hebda, visit the events page of archspm.org.
And here's That Man, Woman, and the Order of Creation, which explores the Catholic vision of the human person. And the goal is to equip clergy, religious, pastoral ministers, educators, and lay leaders with the pastoral insights they need to reach out to those they serve in truth and love. Monday, December 11th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., OEC Auditorium at the University of St. Thomas. And there will also be an evening event, 7:30 to 9 p.m., which is free and open to the public. It'll be the culmination of the day-long symposium. Registration for the evening event is not required. For more information, Google St. Paul Seminary and go to the St. Paul Seminary webpage.
Endow Vision, envision a world where every woman has the opportunities, knowledge, and the courage and the support to be the best version of themselves, made in the image and likeness of God. The Office of Evangelization presents Mallory Smith for A Day with Endow. It's on Saturday, January 13th, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at St. Olaf in Minneapolis. Visit Parent S at archspm.org.
Next Friday, you're not going to hear the Rediscover Hour because it's Pledge Drive week, but you need to go to Mass for the Holy Day. But we'll be back on December 15th to talk about marriage and family with Bill Wacker, the ministry Marriage in Christ, and Jean Stolpelstedt, Director of Marriage, Family, and Life, who will tell us about how to celebrate Advent as a family. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.